This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
So, good afternoon, everyone. Here we are again together after we've been gone our ways doing various things this afternoon, picking mushrooms. Wow, what a wonderful offering from Eric, and doing various things to help keep everything really fine here at Jikoji. So I'd like to talk this week about the paramitas, and I'll begin today with the first one. But the paramitas is that word is translated as the perfections or the great perfections. But not to worry, because it includes the imperfections. So you can't have one without the other. They go together. So the very first one, always, from the time of the Buddha, 2,600 years ago, is giving, the perfection of giving. Why is that the first one? Because that's the deepest human foundation that we have. We see it in our lives all the time. When there are disasters and people help each other out, I mean, it's incredible what happens. And not only that, we see it when we have children, what happens with children. There's a natural human impulse to give, to share. We're just built that way. And Buddha had the insight to see that that's the deep one, and that's where to start. That's where to start and where to keep bringing it up. It's like a wellspring. So the foundation, the deep one, just remembered, sometimes I read in science magazines, and you read a lot of researchers when you read science magazines, that people do these studies, even very young infants, they'll give naturally, they'll share little objects that are placed in a room, they can just barely crawl, they're crawling around, and 6 months old or so, and they'll want to share, of course, to their parents, who are often in the room with them, their mothers are even, but even with other strange infants, even with infants that they don't know, they have these hidden cameras, but it's amazing what researchers do, but it's interesting. So it's a very deep, deep place in us. And sometimes we forget it because we've layered a lot of other things on top of it. But I know that's the deepest, the Buddha. The Buddha understood that. He had that insight to place that one first. So all through the traditions of Buddhism, the history of Buddhism, as it came from South Asia and India, Northern India, and spread to China and East Asia. So different teachers, different monks, and including in our own lineage of Zen, the tradition of Zen Buddhism, Bodhidharma, and the founder of our particular form of Buddhism, Soto Zen, Dogen, also had a lot to say about this. So people kept bringing their own insights into giving and all the perfections. And that's what we're doing in our practice, is discovering, uncovering for ourselves what our own insights are into giving. How does that manifest itself? So I brought some quotations, and I'll read those out. I don't like to misquote. Think I'll need that. But Dogen said, one should give even a single coin or blade of grass. Such giving causes roots of goodness to sprout now and through the ages into the future. So that's a big thing to say about giving. But if we just stop to reflect a moment, we can see that everything is given. Every single thing is given to us. Our life, our very breath, each breath is given. There's nothing that we can apprehend in any way as human beings that's not already given to us. So that's why we sit down, why we slow down and reflect on this. Every single thing is given. And what is our place in that? All the life forms are our food, the minerals, the stars, every single thing that we know is given. So also the Buddha said in the early texts that sharing your last grain of rice causes immeasurable benefit for oneself and for all others. So he's pointing to any single act, no matter how, although this is a pretty big example, your last grain of rice, but any single act of giving or sharing is a worthy act, is an act that gives benefit to ourselves and to others. Dogen also said, all productive work that you do, basically any action that you take with the right attitude is fundamentally giving. And then he has some beautiful metaphors. He says, entrusting flowers to the wind and birds to the season can be acts of giving. So he's pointing to our attitude, how we look at things, our relationship to the world and to ourselves. So Dogen also says, fools don't believe this, but giving benefits both the givers and the receivers. So Dogen often in his talks doesn't mince words. Fools don't believe this, but think about it. All acts of giving benefit both the givers and the receivers. He also says, and this is one of my favorite lines, It is not only a matter of exerting oneself. One should not miss the right opportunity. One should not miss the right opportunity. So what does that mean in terms of giving? That means our awareness. That means stepping out of ourselves. In a way, our small selves. At least for me, that's opening up to all the beings around us. It's being aware of what's going on around us. Any action we can take, we just might be there to help someone who's stumbling down a path. But if we're, like we often are habitually, just going our own way and locked in our headspace and not paying attention, then we'll miss that opportunity to give. We'll miss that opportunity to be of benefit to others and to ourselves. So a big piece of this is being awake and alive to everything that's going around. It's a big practice, but we have big minds. Bodhidharma says, mind is Buddha. Your mind is Buddha. We have big minds, and we just need to open them up a little bit. We are also, without a doubt, creatures of habit. And that's part of a natural socialization. We're beings that live in society. We need to be socialized. We need to sort of focus and learn how to do things and develop ourselves. But sometimes as we go on, especially in a culture like ours, which is pretty self-focused, we just build up layers and layers of not being aware of the others that are around us. So that's what we're opening up to in practice. And it just always amazes me, and all the years I've been doing this, that just simply sitting down and slowing down and opening up to it, we start to see. It's pretty simple in a way. Oh. So when we get out of our autopilot mode, which is what a sesshin, or even coming one day, or even one moment of awareness can allow us to do, just get out of our autopilot, then we can see everything we do, the way we walk to the zendo, the way we take our shoes off, the way we place our shoes outside the door, the way we enter the zendo. I mean, every moment is an opportunity for giving and for awareness. Every moment. And when we come to sesshin, we're especially fortunate because we have these forms that, as I said, help support us in opening us to giving and seeing how we might give in the Orioki form, in eating. We can see, for example, how the others, we can be aware of how the others around us are eating and how we could harmoniously finish on time together. And that may mean adjusting the speed at which we're eating or the amount we're taking. So it can be a huge practice. I came to Orioki after many years of insight practice where mindful eating, which is a whole different sort of way of eating, and very slow. that was the practice. And so then I come to Oryokyo and I'm like, how can they eat this fast? Especially because I've always been the slowest one in my family and among my friends. At dinner with friends, it's like I'm always the last one. So, you know, I kind of resisted and I kind of made some adjustments. But then after doing it a few times, I began to see how it's like there's this opening of the, there's a mind that sort of resists. And then when you just get with the program and let the form support you, the whole heart, mind, body opens. You feel in your body and your heart, everything changes. And then it's not such an imposition to change your way of eating, but it's, can even be quite a beautiful, almost choreography, which usually takes some time to develop, like dances do, you know, but by the end of Sesshin. So that kind of giving, that kind of awareness of, you know, famously stepping on insects and watching where you're walking, everything we do, the roots of goodness, I love that part too, spread everywhere. So another opportunity we'll have tomorrow for giving is that we'll be sharing our sesshin with the larger community. So we haven't been here long, but we've created this cozy little space, and we know where we sit, and we know who our seating partners are, and then there'll be others coming in. And sometimes that can raise, I just want to make sure that I point out now that these are not, the perfections, along with the imperfections, are not prescriptions. They're not prescriptions. They're not you should do this. They're descriptions of our natural behavior, which, in the case of the first perfection, is giving. So when we feel, we can also give ourselves the gift of just accepting that feeling. Okay, I have feelings that I don't like this or I don't like that, but then can I give myself the gift to accept that? The early Buddhist texts have a simile, a parable with the simile of the second arrow. So when you start to berate yourself or beat yourself up because you had that thought that you didn't like this, then that's like shooting an arrow into an arrow and just driving it in further. So that's not helpful. But giving ourselves the gift of just saying, oh, there's that feeling. Okay. That's my, can even elaborate if you want, but it's my feeling right now, but the next moment it can change. So an offering I'd like to make, I know that some people are leaving tomorrow. So although we're doing Dharma discussions one-on-one starting Tuesday, if you are leaving and feel you would like to have a Dharma discussion, please get a hold of David, and we can work out a time that can happen. So that is an opportunity for you if you want to take it, if you're leaving. I know some people are leaving and returning. I'm not sure who those people are, but I do know that. So in the case of those people, I would suggest that that they don't have any discussion until they come back and settle in a little bit again. But so there are many ways we can give. I also want to point out the other side of giving, which is receiving. It's two sides of the coin. Receiving is just as important as giving. And in fact, also, I would say, this is my perspective, in our culture, we tend to overlook that because we come from a culture that's very independent and individually oriented. So we overlook the receiving side. But that's as great a gift as giving. Just as giving benefits both the giver and the receiver, receiving benefits both the giver and the receiver, the recipient. I'll tell you a little story from my experience, which is that I was, like many people, kind of grown up to be independent and be very glad that I was independent, even prideful some. You know, that was a good thing. And our culture certainly has lots of examples of that. So there's a whole range that we can go from pride to egotism to I did it all. And certainly we have lots of examples of that right now in our culture. So we can see that practically every day. So there's this whole range. But in my case, it happened that about 20 years ago, I got a condition, a physical condition, that meant I couldn't do the work that I was used to doing. And that was very difficult for me. And I certainly hope that no one else has to have such an extreme example as mine. But sometimes things that look, you would say, oh, that's terrible, or oh, poor so-and-so, can actually be quite a gift. So there's that which may be to consider. So I couldn't do the work. I was doing a lot of very physical work as well as mental work. I was a chef and a food writer and had big gardens and et cetera. And I just couldn't do the work. And I realized, and had been practicing a number of years already, like 10 or 15 something, and I just saw kind of clearly, oh, I'm having trouble. People are offering to help me, and I am having trouble accepting that offer of help. And so I learned a lot from that experience. It didn't happen overnight, but I learned to even ask for help. And that was kind of a breakthrough for me. It was like going actually and saying, yes, could you help me? And you know, the thing that really amazed me was that just that act of doing that actually led me to see things in such a different light that I was doing things that I'd never even considered doing before. So receiving is also part of giving. So that's what I have to offer today. And I'm really interested in what you might have, and encourage you to have any questions or if you have comments. And so, thank you. David.
I hear the quote, that line about giving the birds in flight or something?
Giving the birds their season.
Their season.
Yeah. It's a little unusual, but yeah. Thank you.
What does that mean?
It's a good question. It's a metaphor, which actually all language is a metaphor, but it's a poetic metaphor. And one thing that led me to Zen was reading Dogen, whom I didn't understand, but I loved reading his work because he was also a poet, and I also write poetry. So I just like the mysteriousness of his metaphors sometimes. The birds, their season. And it could be translation. You know, Dogen wrote in Japanese, and I do not speak Japanese, so, you know, different translators. But it's unusual enough, a word that I think it's giving them their time, you know. Maybe it has to do with hunting. I could speculate, but... Something to, it's like a koan, something to roll around. Thank you. That's Mark.
People in my life who obviously need help, and I'm not the only person who notices, but who continually reject it, which causes me a lot of frustration. And I understand that they can't be helped unless they want to be. And so I just am not sure how to think about a situation like that. Like, do I give up? It seems to be the sort of route that I'm kind of headed toward.
You bring up one of the big difficulties of being human, you know. So thank you for bringing that in here because that's what we're here for. And I would say that, yes, part of what you said, it's true, you can't help people who keep rejecting being helped. And then there would be all different circumstances, too, of what kind of help is needed and how serious the help and, you know, is it life and death, or is it, you know, I mean, other, there can be a number of things. But to answer your question about what to think about it, how to be with it, really, is what I heard. I would say try to just keep open to it, to keep open to the fact that they're not having help, not or rejecting help, not you have a relationship with them, so I'm understanding that you offered something that was rejected. Keeping open to that they also have a giving nature and just don't have the clarity to see it, and also keeping open to that you might come across a way that will just, in the right, like Dogen says, don't miss the right opportunity. Just keep being aware. Absolutely do not give up. Never give up. But you may not be able to say anything. You may have to not use the same words you've used, offer the same whatever you've been offering. But just keep being their friend, their, you know, keep being there for them. Even something maybe as simple as, well, if you ever need me, give me, or whatever the language, you know. So trusting yourself that if you keep open, ways do appear. Not always, and then sometimes we just have to accept that things are out of our control. And that breaks our hearts, but So. Mark.
What you just said, Mark, it just reminded me of how I used to feel about my parents when I was a young man, thinking about, you know, this very dysfunctional family and just the same kind of frustration of thinking, oh my gosh, you know, they won't accept or change or, you know, like nothing inherent, like something where you might have a disease that there's not a cure for, or you get in an accident and, you know, you become a paraplegic or something. But this was just this horrible suffering that they had with each other, and the ripples then extended out to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But that feeling of, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
That just kind of reminded me of that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that in. Yes, we all have all these stories. We all have these situations in one way or another, at one time or another.
You talk about compassion and giving and receiving, and you said Buddha said dana, giving, is the first, and it is the polar opposite of something else, which is taking, stealing, killing, violating. Yet compassion's soft, and the other is hard. And yet they say we have to go soft. You have to go soft. Trump has said, "Be a marshmallow." Do we form a marshmallow wall? Paradox to me.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the marshmallow. and the metaphor of the marshmallow wall. So, yes, so the perfections. So we'll uncover, all of those, and tomorrow will be you're prescient, Doug. Tomorrow we'll be talking a little bit about the taking side, and you know. So. Next one. Oh, perhaps that's enough today. I don't know where we are in the schedule exactly, but I hope we're in a fairly good place to.
Shall we do the after Dharma talk?
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.